has joined. Has joined. Has joined.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today we will be studying the third Aliyah. The third Aliyah runs from chapter 10 of Exodus, verse 24, and completes at chapter 11, verse 3. This is a total of 9 verses. We'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kudsha Berichu, Ishkin Tevi, Udhilu, Urchimu, Udhilu, Udhilu, Urchimu. Le'akta, L'shem, Yod-He, Bavav-He, V'Yehuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah. Vayehino, Am Adonai Elohino, Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Kanane, Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Kananehu. Vayikra Paro El Moshe, Vayomer Leku Yivdu, Et Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adanu Yo Yohei Dawanu Heyo, Rak Tzonchem Uvkarchem Yutzag Tam Tapchem. Yelech imachem, vayomer Moshe, gam ata titen, v'yadeinu, zivachim v'yolot, v'asinu, la'adonai, yohei wahei, adanu yo, yohei dawanu hei yo, Eloheinu, Gamik Neinu Yelech Imanu Lo Tishael Parsaki Mimenu Nikach Lavod Et Adonai Yohei Wahei Adadu Yo Yohei Dawandu Heyo Eloheinu Anachnu lo neda mana avot et Adonai Yohei Wahei Adanu Yo Yohei Dawanu Heyo Adboenu Shama Adonai Yoheiwahe, Adanu Yo, Yoheida Wanu Heyo, Ele Paro Willo Ava, Lishalcham. Yomer lo paron lech me alai ishamer lecha al tosef riot hanai ki biyom riot cha panai tamut. Yomer Moshe krim dibarta lo osif od riot panecha. Vayomer Adonai Yoheiwahe Adanu Yo Yoheida Wanu Heyo El Moshe Odega Echad Avio Al Paro We all meet Raim. Achare Kain Yishala. Echem Mize Kishalho. Kala Karesh. Yaygaresh. Echem Mize. Daberna. Yazne Ha'am. Vayishalu ish me'et rehu v'isha me'et re'uta kle kesef ukle zahav vayiten Adonai Yoheiwahe Adanu yo Yoheiwahe dawanu heyo et chen ha'am v'enei Mitzrayim gam ha'ish Moshe gadol me'od be'eretz Mitzrayim v'enei avdei paro u'v'enei ha'am. That's the completion of the Hebrew reading. Translation, starting with verse 24 in chapter 10. Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, "Go, worship Hashem, but your flocks and your cattle shall be left. Your young children may also go with you." So what was Pharaoh doing? He was saying, "I don't expect you to come back, but I want your wealth. Maybe you'll come back for your wealth. And if you don't, at least I still have it." But Moses said, "You too shall give sacrifices and burnt offerings into our hands, and we will make them for Hashem, our God. And also our cattle will go with us. Neither hoof will remain, for we will take from it to worship Hashem our God. And we do not know how we will worship the Lord until we arrive there." So Moses is saying these tools of the cattle and so forth, the animals, that you consider wealth, we consider tools of doing spiritual work. And this is really the consciousness difference between the corrected children of Israel, the children of Israel after they complete their tikkun, each individual completes their tikkun. They have accepted or learned that the spiritual goal what it's all about, that everything is used for spiritual goals. Everything is a tool for spiritual goals. Whereas the other nations, their orientation is more towards the physicality. I don't want to give my wealth. If you don't come back, I'm keeping the wealth. Verse 26. And also our cattle will go. Excuse me, verse 27. Hashem strengthened Pharaoh's heart, and he was unwilling to let them out. And we constantly have to ask the question as we read about the plagues, or the letters, as they are really referred to in the Torah, the signs. Why does Hashem harden Pharaoh's heart? We've given you the explanation, but it really doesn't. It takes time to contemplate this whole concept of what is coercion. The world we live in is a coercive world. Why? Why do I say that? Because the world we live in is painful. And even when we have good days and good events, we always are concerned that it won't last. This is a coercive world. It's pushing us. It's causing us to perceive things incorrectly. That's part of the illusion. But it's much more than that, because we have to recognize how we are being influenced. Today I was listening to a segment on one of the news stations. And the question was asked, and the expert is a cult expert. And the assessment is that there are groups of people in the United States that have become connected to Donald Trump as a cult leader. And the question was, how does that happen? And it happens, according to this expert, through the process of constant repetition, constant influences from the cult leader. Now, I'm not taking the position that this is a true statement, but I'm recognizing that we are influenced by everything around us. And until we recognize those influences, we are always going to be in this coercive state, being pushed in a direction that we do not have free choice. Pasuk 28. Pharaoh said to him, "Go away from me. Beware, you shall no longer see my face. For on the day that you see my face, you shall die." Moses said, "You have spoken correctly. I shall no longer see your face." Chapter 11, verse 1. Hashem said to Moses, "I will bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go from here. When he lets you out, he will completely drive you out of here. Please speak into the ears of the people, and let them borrow, each man from his friend, and each woman from her friend, silver vessels and golden vessels. It's such an interesting translation. The word for friend that's being translated as friend is re-a-hu. It's a corrupted translation because you have the word evil, resh ayin, the first two letters of the four letters. Can't be a friend. And I've seen it translated in another way, but it doesn't say borrow from you, the Egyptians. The other, another question that we need to answer is, why does Hashem want us to borrow when we are leaving the land of Egypt? Whatever we take with us is not going to be returned to Egypt, so how is it a frame of borrowing? Isn't it stealing? And the answer is no, it's not stealing. Because nothing belongs to anyone. Everything belongs to Hashem. So if someone makes a gift to you, you're in effect borrowing it from Hashem. If someone makes a gift to you, it belongs to Hashem who's making the gift to you. But essentially, Hashem is always connected to every atom, A-T-O-M, in the universe. Hashem is deciding and authorizing you to receive whatever you receive. But you have to think and be aware that you are borrowing this from Hashem. It's not yours. If you think it's yours, you are corrupting it. If you think it's yours, then you get upset with your friend if he takes it to use. When in fact, if he takes it to use, it's because Hashem wants him to do that. Because everything that happens in the physical world is the plan of creation. And if you are supposed to have whatever that thing was, additional money, whatever you need, if you're supposed to have that, then it will be returned to you. No one can steal anything from you because it's not yours to begin with. This is a tremendous spiritual lesson and a tremendous spiritual law that is taught in this verse. Nothing belongs to you, so therefore no one can steal it. If Hashem has lent it to you, then you must take care of it. And if you take care of it, he will give you additional things. But if you don't take care of it, you lose it. The third and last verse. So Hashem gave the people favor in the Egyptians' eyes. Also, the man Moses was highly esteemed in the land of Egypt, in the eyes of Pharaoh's servants, and in the eyes of the people. You need to understand the people are the children of Israel. Pharaoh's servants are the leaders of the Egyptian government. And the people, the children of Israel, when they requested of the Egyptians to borrow their gold and their silver, to borrow what they found, and the Midrash says that during the plague of darkness, the children of Israel went into their homes, went through all of their belongings, all of the locations where they might conceal things, and made an accounting of what the Egyptians had. And then when they requested to borrow these things, the Egyptians were so shocked that they knew about them that they went ahead and gave it, for in some cases, and in other cases, they just were understood that I needed to pay this tribute for the years of slavery. And it's the only way the children of Israel would leave the land and stop these horrible plagues. So they gave up all of their wealth. And the children of Israel left with all of the wealth of Egypt, which was all the wealth of the physical world. Does anyone have any questions? So we are in the fourth chapter of Perek Shirah in the beginning of page 8 on the handout. Bekoshi shi omer al te'echav shena ten ti waresh bekach einecha seva lachem. This is a verse from Proverbs, from Mishle. In the sixth call, we're still dealing with the rooster. It is saying, do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you shall be satisfied with bread. It's a very strange verse. Do not love sleep. What's wrong with sleep? We all need sleep. We all desire sleep when we're really exhausted. But not to love it. Sleep, the Talmud teaches, is 1/60th of death. So we're really saying, the verse is saying, do not love death. Because a dead person is in poverty. And someone who is in poverty, according to the Talmud, is considered dead. Open your eyes. Become aware. See, look for truth. See truth. Open your eyes means connect to wisdom. And if you connect to wisdom, then you will be satisfied with bread. You will be satisfied with what you receive. Are we supposed to want more? The answer is yes. We need to desire more, but only after we appreciate what we receive. And this is the energy of this sixth call, the sixth cock-a-doodle-doo from the rooster. The next paragraph. Because we omer et lasot la donai yo hey wahey this is a verse from Psalms. In its seventh call, it is saying, it is time to act for Hashem, for they have made void your Torah. The word for void is heferu, but this could actually be translated as the cattle of him, the cattle of his. The word for void is really, I don't think, is a correct translation. I'd have to double check it. But it doesn't seem to me a correct translation, because the verse does not make a whole lot of sense. It is time to act for Hashem, because they have done something. His cattle of your Torah. And this is, people interpret the Torah in every generation. Each generation has a tikkun with the Torah, a correction with the Torah. Each generation needs to interpret the Torah according to its values in that generation. In some generations, the interpretation of the Torah was not correct. And it makes the Torah cattle. It makes the Torah a beast without a desire. What does a cattle do? What do cattle do? They stand and eat grass. They make new cattle through sex with a cow. But essentially, there's not a major desire to receive in cattle. And that the loss of that desire to receive is a horrible idea for a human being. We need to desire. Do we need to desire power? Not necessarily. But we need to have passion for something. Otherwise, we're just cattle. And if we look at the population of the world from our distance, looking at people distantly, not as our friends, because in our friends, we would always know what their passions are, what they truly desire, what are they striving to achieve. But looking at human beings in general from a distance, they look like cattle. They look like they accept the control of other people. They accept the society that they live in. They don't try and change it. They don't have a passion. This is the culture I live in. This is the society I live in. And that's acceptable. There's not a thought about it from a distance. As I said, if it's your friends, you know what their desires are. You know what they're thinking about the government and about the news that happens. Does that mean that everybody thinks like that? If I became friends with someone in China that I've never met, would I understand? Would I have that same recognition of their desire. There are people in the world who have no desires, or their desires are minimal. And that's what this verse is discussing. Does anyone have any questions? While you're unmuting yourselves, I will not be doing a class today at 2 o'clock or at 11 o'clock. This is because I have the opportunity to get the vaccine, and I have decided that I will do that. But I will have a class at 4:30 for the Deep Zohar, and we will do the Ari's class at 7 p.m. this evening. Shalom Gadol to everyone. I hope you're all well and happy, and have a beautiful afternoon and beautiful evening. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom, thank you.
Shalom Gadol, thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom.